Welcome. My name is Dov Gordon from dovgordon.net, and this is how to craft a simple, compelling sales message that makes your ideal customers say, "Tell me more." So we got a nice response to this. I was quite pleased, especially since I didn't actually promote this to very many people. A bit about what we're going to be covering on the call today. So everything that I do in my business is designed to help the small business entrepreneur to attract more quality customers in less time. So if you're a solo entrepreneur, or if you're the owner of a business with a handful or several handfuls of employees, and you don't yet have a steady, consistent, predictable flow of your ideal customers or clients, then what we're going to cover in today's teleseminar is going to help you take a very important step in that direction. Now, experience shows that most small business owners and entrepreneurs are unclear as to what they should actually be doing in order to create a system that brings them a steady, consistent flow of new customers. And for a long time, I was in that boat. I always knew that I had a lot to offer people. I just didn't know how to get them to see it. I was never lazy, although I was fearful at times, but not lazy. So what I found myself doing is I found myself doing a lot of different things in an effort to get more clients and more customers. And sometimes I succeeded, but more often it was just frustrating. And you can't eat on frustration, right? You can't feed your family with frustration. But on the other hand, I always felt guided. I always felt like, you know, I was having just enough success to keep me in the game. And so I continued. But my wife suffered. My kids suffered. I was working very long hours, being very busy, although I often couldn't tell you what I was actually busy doing. You know, I'm sure you could probably relate to that. But I was looking everywhere for insights, for ideas, solutions. I would read and study and look here. I'd talk to people. And I learned an awful lot along the way. When I finally came across somebody who I got the feeling that he has that little bit of information or insight that I might be missing, I actually borrowed money to enroll myself in his rather expensive coaching program. And I'm really glad I did, because, you know, I knew an awful lot. But there was a little bit that I was missing, and I got that within the first few weeks. And my business turned around within the first few weeks. My assumption is that you also are missing just a little bit. You probably know an awful lot. And I'd like to, you know, if I can help you make a big change in your business, then that's, of course, it's an honor and a privilege. Now, when I say turned around, what I mean is I don't mean like I became a millionaire in 3 weeks, but within 3-4 weeks, I suddenly was doing things differently. I understood how to go about growing my business in a much more systematic way. Some of what was missing for me, I'm going to actually share on the call today. And what happened was that I got a whole avalanche of new clients, and I've been building and improving that ever since. So that was a really important turning point. But because of whatever happened before that, it's a terrible feeling to know that you have so much to offer through your products and your services, and yet not know how to talk about them in a way that the people who you care about, those people who, if they would just buy, right, you know, their lives would be so much better. Not know how to talk to them about what you do in a way that gets them to sit up and take notice. I've spent a long time, maybe 10, 11 years now, in the small business scene, you know, networking and so on. And I've noticed that there are two kinds of small business entrepreneurs out there. There are those who will always be going in circles, and there are those who will one day break out. If you've been to networking events or industry events, especially if the meetings, if it's a kind of group that meets on a regular basis, I'm sure you've noticed there are some people who are always there year after year, always with an excuse as to why they haven't succeeded at this or that, which, you know, they set out to do and talked about, and almost always it's has nothing to do with them. You know, it's somebody else's fault or circumstance and so on. The problem with these people is that they're looking for the secret recipe. They're looking for the recipe that they believe that there are other people who know something that they don't know. They see other people succeeding, and they conclude there must be something they know that I don't know. And if I could just find out what that secret recipe is, then I'll be okay. Then suddenly my business will grow and things will be easy and so on. The problem is that there is no secret recipe. And therefore, and the irony, what I think is rather funny, is you know, they're always looking for more information. They figure they don't know enough. I need to know more. More information. But as soon as they learn something, it's no longer a secret recipe. And when it's no longer a secret recipe, they find something out, learn something. Ah, okay, nah, that wasn't it. That wasn't it. But the truth is there are a lot of recipes that could work, and we're going to come to that in a minute. The second kind of small business entrepreneurs are those who, they're not looking for the secret recipe. They know that it's not going to be easy per se. What they're looking for is the big picture and to know their next step. You know, if you're going to build a building, you've got to have the blueprint first. You have to know what is this going to look like when it's finished? What does the big picture look like? And then what will my next step be? And when these people get a recipe, they actually make it work. I like to think about it as follows. If an amateur cook and a master chef are following the same recipe, so the chef is going to get superior results. The amateur is following a series of steps. The chef is following the same steps, but he also has a certain understanding that the amateur lacks. What he understands is he understands the properties of each ingredient. He understands how they interact with each other and how they interact with heat. So when he's following that recipe, he's following those steps on the foundation of deep insight and real true understanding. And like I said a moment ago, the truth is that there are many recipes out there that could work for you and help you grow your business. But what you really need is you need that big picture. You need to know the next step. And most important is you need time in the kitchen experimenting. Because only by cooking various types of things over an extended period of time are you going to develop the subtlety, the grasp, the subtle sensitivity, the understanding of how the various ingredients work and interact with each other. And I'm talking now not about cooking, I'm talking about marketing. And when you've internalized that insight, you're going to have the success that you want. You're going to have a steady, consistent, predictable flow of the kinds of clients, the kinds of customers that you want. So on today's teleseminar, I'm going to share with you two things. I'm going to share with you, first of all, a recipe. It's a very simple recipe. You've probably come across it before. But I'm also going to share with you insight. I'm going to share with you insight that will help you follow that recipe in the way that the master chef will help you. And even so, though, it's really important to realize that the insight I'm sharing with you is my insight. You're going to have to take it and go out, fool around with it yourself, and then you're going to gain your insight. And once you've gained your insight, things are going to start to flow more smoothly. That's the kind of work that will differentiate those small business entrepreneurs who are always going in circles from those who break out from that circle. So let's move now into the main topic, how to craft that simple, compelling sales message that makes your ideal customers say, "Tell me more." Oh, I just want to also mention that towards the end, I'm going to share with you something interesting, I think is interesting, that I did a little digging in my files to pull together for you. And also towards the end, we're going to actually do some work. After I explain this to you, give you the concepts, we're going to roll up our sleeves, do a little work, open up the lines, and I'll work with several people whoever's interested, helping you actually apply what we're learning to your business. Okay? So I hope you stick around for that. Now, it's not enough, as I mentioned in the preview to this teleseminar, it's not enough to get attention. You need people's interest. You know, a business owner complained to me. She said she's on the first page of Google for her search term. She gets a nice amount of traffic, but people come to the website and then they don't buy. So she's getting their attention, but she's not parlaying that attention into interest and into sales. You know, if you just need to spend a few minutes looking at all the noise out there on Twitter and on Facebook and on the blogs and ads, advertising, it's everywhere. So the noise that's out there is tremendous. It's more than it has ever been before. There are people out there, consultants, who say, "Hey, we'll build a viral campaign." You know, just in case you're not sure, a viral campaign are these videos or websites that go viral, which means that a lot of people share them, and they're saying, "Well, you know, pay us X and we'll build a viral campaign." Now, even if the viral campaign succeeds, very very few of them succeeds because a lot of people see it. Very very few of them will then actually go on and create more sales. Because it gets attention, but it doesn't convert that attention into interest. And, you know, people are jaded as well, so we have to overcome people's skepticism. So we need to learn how to get people's interest. Getting their attention is simply not enough. There are other people, by the way, many of us, and for me this was true for a long time, who the challenge is something even more fundamental, which is, how do I get people to notice? How do I get people to hear about, to notice that my product, my service is different? And we're going to talk about that as well. So first, I want to give you this really simple recipe. And again, I warn you, this is probably something you've come across in the past. But it's because people don't have the insight that's going to come afterwards that people struggle with this. Here's the recipe. You know, we've all been told you need your unique selling proposition, you need a value proposition, and so on. Here's a little template that you could use. I'm going to give you the template. All right, you may want to take out a pen, jot this down, or type this out. I'll read it a few times. It's, we help blank the type of person or business. We help the type of person or business, you fill in the blank, who has a problem, specify the problem, to get a specific desired result. And you fill in the blank, the specific desired result. So there are three blanks there. We help a type of person or business who has a kind of problem, you specify the problem, to get, and then you specify a desired result. So we help a kind of person who has this problem to get that result. So the way I say that is, I help small business owners, the kind of person, who struggle to get enough customers. That's a little more description of the kind of person. And they have that problem, they struggle to get enough customers, to create a consistent, predictable flow of ideal customers. That's the result that I help them achieve. Okay, now that's the recipe, and now we're going to peel off some of the layers to understand really what, when that recipe works. Some people will fill that in, and it will be brilliant, and it will have an immediate impact on people. People will notice. Most people will come up with something, and they're not going to feel comfortable with it. So what I want to do is, I want to help you walk away from today's seminar with either having come up with something final, perhaps by working with me towards the end of the call, if not, certainly having gained some real insight into what you need to do so you can work on it the next day or two, and you know, by the end of the week you've got it done. So what gets people's attention? Let's peel off a layer. Let's look at the mechanics underneath. What gets people's attention? And there are a lot of answers to this. Noise. If there's a sudden noise, it gets your attention. Okay? Noise gets people's attention. Humor gets people's attention. Tragedy gets people's attention. Curiosity. Mystery. A good story of success or failure. There's really no end to what will get people's attention. Okay? But like we said before, attention is only worthwhile if you can then convert it into interest. Attention is fleeting unless you catch it. So what is it that gets people's interest? What gets someone interested? And the answer is that people are interested in things that have to do with them, right? It's all about me. People are interested in what's important to them. Now, so when it's all about me, the customer, that is, I'm gonna be interested. What about me do I care about? Well, if it could solve a problem that I have, I'm going to be interested, and or if it could give me a result that I really want, my most desired result, then I'm going to be interested. Because if someone's talking about a problem that I have that I want to get rid of, I can see how it immediately affects my life. If someone is talking about a result that I really want, I can see how it immediately affects my life. I will be interested. Key insight. You don't want to write this one down, I think. Notice this. You don't actually create interest. You align with it. You can't create interest, because people are already interested in what they're interested in, and you're not going to change that. But what you can do is come to understand what somebody's interested in, and then show them how your product or your service aligns with what they're interested in. So they're interested in solving this or that problem. Show them how your product, your service will solve this or that problem. They're interested in getting this or that result. Show them how your product or service will give them that result. Another little nuance here is that if you're interested in them, if you are really interested in them, that will give you the insights that you need to learn about what's interesting to them. Okay? This is, you know, it sounds obvious afterwards, but look around and we just don't see people working like this. We don't see companies talking like this, and we'll come across some more examples as we continue. What I'm sharing, by the way, just let's a mini summary here is, when you understand the problems that somebody has, so then you go out there and you're advertising in your marketing, whether it's Facebook or LinkedIn or a newspaper ad, a radio ad, what you want to be talking about is the problems that your customers have and the results that they want. That's going to get their attention. You give them some kind of reason to contact you in a no threat way of getting some kind of relief for their problem, some kind of taste of the result that they want, and they're going to start raising their hands. They're going to start stepping out of the crowd. Now let's talk about how do you go about getting people's attention and then converting it to interest, or rather than moving it along to become aligned with interest. How do you do this? So essentially, to earn people's interest, as we just said, you need to be speaking about the problem that they have and don't want, or a result that they want and don't have. Okay, it's just a nice little pithy way of saying it. So you're going to be talking about the problem that people have and don't want, or a result that they want and don't have. Now, there's a right way and a wrong way to talk about these problems and the most desired results. And if you use the wrong way, you're not going to get their attention and interest. And this is why people who will fill in the recipe, the template, without the underlying understanding of what makes it really work, are going to be frustrated. Okay? So what does it look like when you're using it the right way? In order to be aligning with people's interests the right way, you need three factors here. Okay? You need to be talking about their problem or their most desired result in a way that is, number one, specific. Write that down, specific. Number two, credible. And number three, customized for me, the customer, even when it's off the shelf. So again, that's number one, it's specific. Number two, it's credible. Number three, it's customized for me, the customer, even when it's off the shelf. Now, we're going to go through each of these in greater depth. We're going to spend most of the time on the specific piece because a lot of people struggle with that. And then we're going to move later on to, I'm going to give you an exercise, and then we'll open up the lines, like I said, and we'll actually get to work. So what does it mean to be specific? How are you specific? Now, I know it sounds like a simple and obvious question, but again, I see a lot of people struggling with this. So we're going to peel off a few layers here, and it's really the most important thing because, if you're describing something, a problem, it's got to be specific or it's not going to resonate with the customer. See, when you're specific, see, our brains respond to specifics. We need to be able to picture something. And if it's not specific, we can't picture it. So when you're more specific, that makes it easy for your customer to listen to you, to follow you. It's also easier for you when you're talking about a specific, because it's easier for you to talk about the problem, the product, or service that you offer. If you found it difficult to talk about what you do, for example, maybe time management, or some kind of organizational development consulting, or whatever it might be, or let's say a restaurant, we've got good food, okay? That's just, that's kind of vague, and that's what everybody would expect. But it's not specific enough about the problem people have that they solve by going to a restaurant, or the result that they want that they can get by going to a restaurant. So again, we're gonna be slowly peeling off layers, and it's all gonna come together. So what does specific look like? Let's look at two of the most famous speeches in American history. Let's look at some of the words in just a sentence or two from each of these speeches. So there's a very famous speech that went like this. The speaker said, towards the middle, he said, "I'd like to see people getting along. I'd like to see people respecting each other for who they are." Does that sound memorable? Not at all, right? That's not very memorable. What Martin Luther King actually said was, "I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice." All he said was, "I'd like to see people getting along. I'd like to see people respecting each other for who they are." But there's nothing picturesque in that statement. There's nothing we can really visualize. That just like rolls off. It just goes in one ear and out the other. But you talk about the red hills of Georgia and the sons of a former slave and the sons of the slave master, a slave owner, sitting down together at the table of brotherhood. This creates imagery. This is something we can relate to. When I first heard a recording of this famous speech a year or two ago, it brought tears to my eyes. Another example from another famous speech is, Many years ago, a group of men created a new country on the North American continent. And of course, what we're really talking about here is what Abraham Lincoln actually said was, 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now, a bit of an old-style language, but many years ago or 47 years ago? Which one is easier for us to grasp? Which one is easier for us to relate to? Our fathers brought forth is much more easier to picture than a group of men, right? Same idea, same message, really. But by presenting it with words that draw pictures, we're able to relate to it. And these are kind of somewhat detached, perhaps, from your day-to-day, but these are also rather amorphous concepts, so it's a really good place to learn from. Let's bring it down to the day-to-day, right? Which would you rather have for lunch? I'm going to offer you one of the following. A delicious hot fast food lunch. Or perhaps you'd like a fresh hot slice of extra cheese pizza just out of the oven, still sizzling. Which would you prefer? I imagine that you prefer the second. You prefer the fresh hot slice of extra cheese pizza just out of the oven, still sizzling. Even though it's exactly what I said before, it's a delicious hot fast food lunch. That's it. And you see, because I can picture that fresh hot slice of pizza, and when I picture it, I can even start to smell it. So, and so can you. So this is really something that the point here is that we need to zero in, and in order to be specific, one of the ingredients of being specific is to be something that we can picture in our minds. You know, I don't remember where I came across this, but I was looking at some company website, and their slogan was, make your choice work for you. Make your choice work for you. I have no idea what company that was. I don't know what they did. And I imagine that you don't either, right? Make your choice work for you. I'm absolutely sure that their slogan does absolutely nothing to help their sales. It does nothing by leading people to turn any attention they may have gotten, perhaps accidentally, into interest. Let's look at a couple of examples to bring this home to, again, some concrete business examples, business situations. And again, later we'll apply all this to you so you can leave here having already made progress. The question is, can your potential customer easily picture how life will be different after they've bought your product, after they bought your service? Because if they can't easily picture it, they're not going to buy. So I was talking to a colleague who consults on databases for various organizations, and he mentioned that many of his clients hire him to advise them on a selection of to select database systems, to set up the systems, but he was looking to get more of them to hire him for help actually using these database systems. So I asked him, I said, well, what's the problem that they have that you can help them solve with as it relates to using these databases? And he said, well, you know, they just don't get maximum utilization from their databases. Or he said something like that. They don't get maximum utilization from their database. So what? So what? Who cares? Well, what happens is, as a result, he says, they over-communicate with their database. And that's the problem. Well, what's the problem? They over-communicate? So what? Who cares? Why is over-communicating a problem? Well, because they burn out their list. They burn out their list? What does that mean? So what? So they burn out their list. Who cares? Well, if people don't read the emails that they're sending out or the letters that they're sending out, they don't benefit from this organization's know-how and so on, and the reasons that they became a member of this organization, this association, don't benefit, and therefore they don't renew their membership. Uh-huh. So the problem is that people are not reading the letters and the emails you're sending to them, so they're not benefiting from all the great value your association has to offer, and therefore they're not renewing their membership. Now, who's bothered by that? Well, the association CEO for sure, okay? Now, if you're looking to promote what you can do for that association and you're talking about how, what do? Well, I help you get maximum utilization from your database, or I help you avoid over-communication with your database, you're not going to get anywhere. He's not going to be interested. But if you're talking about how, if instead of that, you talk about, well, what do? Let's go back to our recipe. I help association CEOs who are frustrated by members who don't renew because they don't feel they're getting value from their membership. I'll say that again. What do you do? Well, I help association CEOs, that's who are frustrated by members who don't renew. That's the problem, because they don't feel they're getting value from their membership. That's the rest of the problem. Notice we don't have to always have a problem and a desired result. Sometimes one is powerful on its own. Now, I want you to notice another thing. This is very likely to get a response of, really? How do you do that? Well, we use the database wisely, and we can talk about how you do that. But in the initial statement about what he does, there was no mention now at all about databases at all. What do you do? I help association CEOs who are frustrated by members who don't renew because they don't feel they're getting value from their membership. There's nothing at all there about databases. Why not? The answer is because the clients don't care about the databases. They don't want that. It's a necessary evil. It's a part of doing business. They need to have a database. Fine. But what they really want is the results the database will give them. And if the database is giving them is falling short on those results, people are not getting the benefit, people are not renewing, people are not... Now, that's what I really care about. So, what I'm trying to show you is the process of getting very specific about the problem that your ideal customers have that you can solve. And it's not at all about the method or the tools you use to solve that problem. Now, I'm going to share with you three concrete tools, to help you. Let's say you come up with a problem that you're going to, this is right because you're going to fill in your recipe, you're going to fill in your the value statement, the value proposition template, and you think, okay, here's the problem that I help people solve. Well, before you settle on it, let's run it through a few tests. So we're going to do the cup of coffee test. Would your ideal customer use that language to describe his own problems when sitting down with a friend for a cup of coffee or a beer after work? That's the cup of coffee test. Would your ideal customer sit down, describe their problem in the language you're using when they're sitting down with a colleague or a friend or a coworker over a cup of coffee or a beer? That's tool number one. You just want to run your problem statement through there. Second tool is ask why. Now you notice I did that with this friend of mine, this colleague. I asked him why. So they don't get maximum utilization from the database. Why is that important? So what? Who cares? That's just another way of saying, why does that matter? Why? And ask why. You ask that several times, and you start to uncover the core. You get to the real root of the matter, to what really is what really drives people's decisions and their emotions and so on. And the third tool I want to share with you is, can you see it? Can you observe it? Can you observe people not getting maximum utilization from their database? Very hard to observe, right? this guy named Robert Mager wrote some really good books. One of them is on a topic related to this. And I remember one of the examples that he gives I'm doing this from memory now. My goal, someone says, is my objective is that people have more of an appreciation for their environment. But you can't observe anybody having appreciation for the environment. There would have to be certain things they would do or not do as a result of attaining that added appreciation for the environment. And it's the same thing with whatever we're doing. So again, the three tools are the coffee cup test, the cup of coffee test, asking why or so what, and number three is, can you see it? Can you observe it? I'll walk you through some examples, again, to make this simple and bring it home. So I have a client who teaches, who's a time management coach, and we did some work together. But let's look at what's the problem that a time management coach is solving. So, at first glance, what do? I help people better manage their time. Let's run that through these three tests, right? The tools. The cup of coffee test, the ask why, so what, and can you see it? Well, let's start with the last one. Can we see it? Can we see someone not managing their time? Well, not really, not directly. Let's ask why. Why does it matter if someone is not managing their time well? Well, because I feel like I'm wasting my life, they might say. I feel like the weeks are flying by and I'm not getting nearly enough done. Okay, we've begun to uncover what really matters. Well, what's the third thing is coffee cup test. If someone was sitting around at the end of the day with a friend, would they say, I just need to better manage my time? They might. But what what they're more likely to say is something about how, you know, I just like, you know, the days are flying by. I thought I'd be finished this project 3 weeks ago, and I'm not sure where my time goes. You know, it just leaves me feeling so drained because, and you know, I've tried a lot of different things. I've tried a few systems and nothing seems to really work for me. I don't know that I'm ever going to be able to accomplish what I, you know, this, achieve what I wanted in this time frame. And you get the idea. You get to really, you get a real sense of the way somebody would describe the problem. It's not about time management. That might be some, maybe use some time management tools to help them, but the problem that they have is many layers deeper than that. And this is really important because you can have 10 people teaching or training or coaching on time management. Each of them could zero in on a different type of problem, and each of them could do really well in marketing. Because you pick a different problem, right? Because this, you know, there could be a dozen different problems that time management solves. I just gave you an example of one of them. And each one could then talk about that problem in all of their marketing activities, whether it's online, offline, whatever it might be. What do you do? Well, I help these kinds of people solve this kind of problem. So what you might say, one of them might say, to continue the example I gave you, one of them might say, well, you know, I work with business owners who feel like they're finishing the day and haven't gotten anything done. And I help them organize themselves and to such a degree that they start getting more done, more done in 6 hours than they used to get done in 10, or something to that effect. I'm hoping you're getting a sense of what this is all about. Let's look at another example here. The examples that I picked, by the way, apply, most of them, apply, I think, yeah, they apply, they're more consulting examples. I'll tell you why. Because consulting is a really hard thing to sell. It's rather amorphous. It's different if you have if you're a shoe store. The same principles apply. The same system applies. I'm just picking things that are really hard, okay? And towards the end, again, you'll have the opportunity to give me your example. And I know we have some consultants on the call. Let's look at an example with employees. So let's say what do you do? Well, I help businesses increase their employee productivity. Let's run this through the tests, right? Do we hear the CEO, the business owner, whining about employee productivity when he's sitting down with a friend for a cup of coffee? Maybe. But we would be wrong to accept that, to stop there. Because what they're probably going to be complaining about is how my employees just don't take initiative. They just do what they're told. They never volunteer ideas. They just do the minimum. They just do what they're expected to do. Okay. And now why is that a problem? Right? Why is that a problem? Because we need fresh ideas here. I feel that nobody here feels a sense of responsibility besides me. So what? So what? Let's peel off another layer. Why? Why does that matter? I'm involved in too many things and I'm unable to do any of them really well because I'm just split between too many things. And we would peel that a few more layers and we would get to something that we would get to the way this CEO would actually is really talking about his problem. And then your solution may be to help increase employee productivity through a variety of tools and systems and so on. But you're not going to really get his interest by talking about, I can help you increase employee productivity, because in his mind, that's not really what the problem is. He would describe it in a completely different way. So can you observe it? Can you observe employee productivity? Not really. You can see employees who are not answering the phone. You can see employees who are answering the phone rudely. You can see employees who are letting a customer stand in the store without being helped, or those are things you can see, but you can't necessarily observe employee productivity. And that's again, so we talk about broad generalities. We need to narrow it down. Okay, let's go back to the recipe. The recipe was, again, we help this type of person who has this type of problem to get a specific desired result. And what happens is that when people, all they have is the recipe, but they don't have the insight. So like we said before, they just fill this in with whatever they think, whatever you think the problem is. You're going to fill in, I help people who have association CEOs who are not utilizing their database the way they need to be to better maximize their database. But that's not going to get anybody's interest. What you need to do is talk about the problem as your ideal customer sees it and I think that I've probably made that pretty clear. We'll open up for questions a little bit later, and you can ask me clarifications. So, just So you know, just kind of wrap this part up. So when you understand the real underlying problem and desire that people want to avoid, or to create the result they want to create, then you're ready to formulate a very powerful message, a simple and powerful message that gets people's attention. Understanding this has given me the opportunity to grow my business, to build my systems, and to do things in a way that I now feel like everything I'm doing is adding up. In the past, I felt like I was running in circles, frustrated because nothing was adding up. I was just doing and doing and doing. I didn't really understand this key insight here. Now, the second factor we said, let's just remember, we talked about how you need there. If you're going to talk about someone's problems or most desired result, there are three factors. There were specificity, credibility, and has to be customized for me. So let's now look at the last two. Credible. You got to come across as credible. I mean, you can attract someone's attention, but in order to keep their interest, they need to actually believe that what you're saying is true. Okay? So how do you present yourself as credible? How do you create the perception that you're credible? Well, the obvious way is get results. Do what you say you're going to do, and that will, of course, that will kind of spread the news. That will always help you in many ways. The next obvious answer is be endorsed by others. You know, let's say you have your company has a long history like Honda. You sell cars, right? For all I know, they're just involved in a bunch of recalls, right? You know, I don't pay much attention to that. So maybe a bad example for me to use. I know Toyota was. But anyway, let's say they have a history of selling reliable cars as they did for many years. So you know, that's an example of getting results, and also it creates endorsement by others. Getting testimonials from others. Say, this is what we're telling stories about how, you know, so-and-so, others had the problems that we're talking about, and we helped them overcome that problem. And, of course, being specific, like we talked about earlier. Let's run this through the credibility test here, right? I found a company that claims that, yeah, this is an interesting story. I was searching for something, I don't remember what, some company contacted me, and I was doing a little background. I discovered, I did a search for Google, I forget on what, and I think three or four of the first page 10 results had the following statement in their little blurb on Google. And the statement was, the most innovative and powerful trading platform. The most innovative and powerful trading platform. That's what these companies are claiming. Does anybody believe that? Does that have credibility? Of course not. It doesn't have credibility. Because the prospect thinks, yeah, you would say that. Everyone says that. So what I want to show you here now is it's fascinating actually, because your claim, when your claim is specific, like we talked about before, it also carries credibility. If you're going to say, I help people grow their businesses, well, yeah, a lot of people say that. So it's just not specific enough to my problem, to your problem, to the customer's problem. Or most desired result. But if you say, well, I help business owners get more quality customers in less time, it's very specific. It makes people want to say, well, how? Right? You know, if they have that problem. Now, another perhaps overlooked or not as obvious way to build your credibility is to be really respectful of your customers, your prospects. I use the word interchangeably because they're really the same to me. You need to be respectful of them. You need to really see things from their point of view. You need to have patience with them. You need to focus on having a significant impact on their lives through your products and through your services. And when you do that, you're not in a rush to make a sale. You do that because when you respect them and you care about them, you're always looking to really to try to understand them. I've learned so much by asking good questions of the people on my list and the people who I'm working with, and that insight helps me be more valuable. But I also know in the past there was something that prevented me from being this respectful and interested in them, and that was my own fears about cash flow, my own fears about how am I going to pay the bills, my own worries about myself that kept me focused on trying to close a deal instead of trying to really have an impact. And I urge you, if you're in that situation, you've got to work on your mindset, mental toughness, for 2-3 hours a day act as if you had $1 million in your mattress and another $10 million in the bank and your pockets were bulging with cash. Just act as if. What would you do for the people you can help through your products and services if you had no money worries at all? That's the way to think about it. Now, the final piece of this is I need to perceive that this is customized for me, even if it's an off-the-shelf product. What does that mean? Let me share the insight over here. The insight here is that I need to be able to imagine myself using your product, benefiting from your service. If I can't picture myself using it, I am not going to buy. It needs to be something that's consistent with my self-image, my image of myself. A few examples. You know, if you try to sell me something that requires great skill to use, and I don't see myself as having that skill, and I'm not interested in acquiring that skill, or putting in the time that it takes to acquire that skill, so even if I can see how it will solve my problem, and I believe you, you're credible to me, I believe you that it will solve my problem, but it's not customized for me. That's not a suit I could see myself wearing. So I'm not going to buy it. I'm not going to go for it. Another example, if you try to sell me a red convertible, I'm not really going to be interested. It's not even a matter of price. I'm just not the kind of person who sees myself driving around in a red convertible. No judgment about that one way or the other. You know, if someone likes it, that's great. It's just not for me. Another example. Let's say I've got a tooth that needs a filling. Got a cavity. And I hear you're a good dentist. And I call you up and we start talking and you've got my attention and you got my interest. And, you know, I believe you're credible. I believe you can do a great job. But then I discover something that I didn't know before. I discover that you don't believe in Novocaine. You believe in hypnosis. Now, that may be wonderful for those who like to be hypnotized, but not me. That's a suit I'm not going to wear, okay? It may work wonderfully, but I'm not at a stage in my life where I'm going to sit down to have my tooth drilled under hypnosis. I want Novocaine, and if you can't give that, then again, this is not customized for me. So that's a little simple example of that. just a quick sip. Let's summarize. We talked about how there's a difference between attention and interest, and we need to begin with attention and then move it along to interest. We talked about that there are a lot of ways of getting attention, but there are really only two ways of getting interest. You can get attention with noise and humor and so on, but interest really has to be about me. It has to be a problem as your customer, your desired customer, a problem that I have and don't want, or a result that I want and don't have. And we also talked about how a lot of people will try to talk about the problems that they solve, but they don't do it right because they lack the three qualities of being specific, being credible, and being customized for me. You know, when you first understand the problem that your ideal customer has but doesn't want, the result that they want, then the result that they want but don't have, then after you understand that, then you can go out and fill in the template. Then you can follow the recipe. So in a minute, I'm going to share with you something that I think is very interesting. It's a little, like I mentioned earlier, some research I did. What happened is in preparation for this seminar, I went back and I looked through my files and I pulled together all the different value propositions that I've used over the last 10, 11 years. And I want to share that with you. I think you can find it interesting as you see the progression from meaningless to what I use today. And I don't claim that what I have today is perfect. It's the end, the be-all and end-all. Absolutely not. Who knows? But it's certainly working a lot better than whatever else what I used to use. And I want to share that with you in a minute. and after that, we're also going to we'll open up a line. We'll do the exercise, open up the lines, and get people's we'll get you involved. Okay, now it's time for action, to do the exercises. It's time for you to develop your own simple, compelling message. So the first thing I want you to do is to make a list of all the problems that your ideal customers, your ideal clients have that you can help solve. And make sure they're specific. So make a list of all the problems that your product, that your service can help solve, and make sure they're specific, keeping in mind the many examples that we gave you earlier in the training. Number two, make a list of all the desired results that your ideal clients want and don't have. And again, make them specific, keeping in mind the various examples that I gave you throughout the training. And then we want to take what you come up with and polish it, improve it by running it through the following, using those three tools. Run it through the cup of coffee test. Would your ideal client say it the way you're saying it? Is that how they would describe it or articulate their situation if they were having a coffee or a beer or a scotch with a colleague after work? And then when you look at it, ask why. Why does this matter to them? That helps you get to a deeper level. And then look at what you're describing and ask, is this something that they can observe, they can see? Is this something that, as I use these words to describe their problem, their result, am I speaking aloud what's going through their mind? Will they be able to instantly picture what I'm talking about and get that feeling of, wow, you get me, you understand me, excellent, wow. And then use the tools again. You can take what you end up with right there at the end and go through the cup of coffee test again. Why would you want to go through the cup of coffee test again? Because you want to see where you're starting. You want to make sure that where you end off, you're describing the problem result in a way that is equal or pretty much the same way as your ideal client would describe their problem, their result. Now, you know, I've gotten some great feedback about this training. It's really opened people's eyes. It is an important first step in a marketing and selling system. And if this is something that you'd like some further help with, make sure you reach out to us because we're really good at helping people with this. So lots of people will be able to take this and run with it and do really well. Some people would want some help, and some people, even if they could take this, run with it, and do really well, will be wondering, wow, okay, good. Now what are the next pieces? What are the next steps? And for that, I urge you to get in touch with me or my office. You can email me, dovegordon@dovegordon.net, or heretohelp@dovegordon.net. heretohelp@dovegordon.net, and ask any question, give us any feedback, any comment. We're here to help you further. You should also find a worksheet together with this program that you can use to just guide you along in doing these exercises, and an edited transcript. Edited not to keep anything out, but to keep it neat and valuable and easy to go through. Loved having you along. I hope you enjoyed this and found this as valuable as I did and as so many others have told me they did. Talk to you soon.